And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
Arthur! Dr. Perry!
Mike, I know that you're warm today. You're warm today, and I'm cold here in New York.
It's cold in New York, and that really does a thing on the face and the skin of the face, doesn't it?
It actually does. The humidity is so low here. I think it's about minus 10. No, that's not possible. The humidity is probably around 20% today. And whenever it goes below about 30, we begin to feel that, Mike. And we're feeling it. People's lips chap and their hands chap. And this is one of the few times of the year that moisturizer might be something people can benefit from. But I'm not a big fan during the summer when the humidity's high, however.
Well, let me tell you my favorite medical story of the week, since I didn't get to do it before, and why it's so important. A Fed economist, Lee Shiner, looked at the data from Medicare and looked at the variations in costs. You know, Florida and South Carolina and some of those states and Mississippi and Missouri cost literally four times as much as, for example, Minnesota does or Maine does for Medicare, the same age patient. If you look at all the patients from 75 to 80, it's four times different. Or if you look at them from 85 to 90, it's four times different, four times more in Florida and Missouri and Mississippi, and looked at it carefully. Now, Dartmouth has done some very good work showing the differences in cost, and they said this is due to variation in care. But the Fed economist, Louise Schauer, agreed with Dr. Richard Cooper of the University of Pennsylvania, and they independently analyzed the data and said, no, more than 50% of the changes are due to, in fact, habits, whether people smoke or not, how fat they are, how much type 2 diabetes they are, whether they control their blood pressure, lifestyle changes. So my favorite story this week is if we're going to change Medicare's cost structure and reduce the cost in the high-cost states closer to that of the low-cost states, we've got to change food choices, we've got to change diet, we've got to change the social stigma of, if you will, smoking and obesity, making obesity much like, if you will, smoking, that it's not a good thing to get there, and it's not a good thing for society. One of the things I was most heartened by was the story in the last half hour. The EPA does this analysis of kids' health, and as opposed to 27% of kids who had cotinine levels indicating they were secondhand smoking in 1990, in 2010 it was just 7%. So we've really gotten that smoking out of the homes and out of the cars to a large degree. Now we've got to get healthier food choices and exercise and stress management.
That's right, Mike. So, and that means no more deep-fried Twinkies on the boardwalk in Venice Beach.
That's correct.
That's right.
But let's go to one of the things you have that I love the story of, because you're going to explain the difference to me, because I asked you, one of my friends said, is Thermage good? And I said, for, if you will, resurfacing the skin. And you said, well, let's discuss the difference between lasers and radio frequency, ultrasound, heat, needling, and peeling, because if your friend is confused, a lot of other people are probably too.
And Mike, you know, there are so many new machines out there, you know, just so many, it becomes very difficult for even plastic surgeons and dermatologists to keep up with things. And certainly there are dozens and dozens of lasers. And like you said, Thermage, there's a new one out there called Fractura. There are peels. There's high-energy focused ultrasound. There's all sorts of things. Now, they're all supposed to make you look better. They're all supposed to make you look younger. So let's get to the bottom of this, Mike. Now, if you think about it, every one of these techniques has something in common. They create wounds. And remember, you know this, that humans, the species of humans, It's about 200,000 years old. And way back then, how did we heal wounds? Well, the same way we heal wounds right now, right? We shrink wounds and we thicken the area with scar. We call that collagen, right? We generate that. And if we do that in a very controlled way, we can actually make wrinkles better and make thin skin thicker. And so what we're really doing with all these techniques, Mike, is wounding ourselves. So then we have to think about, you know, if we're wounding ourselves, which of these techniques is the best? Which is the most accurate? And you know, the companies never talk this way because the last thing they want you to know is that you're actually subjecting yourself to a controlled injury, right? I mean, there's no PR firm that would ever...
That's how we heal, right? If you heal with new skin, and the new skin makes you look younger and actually is younger and better for you.
That's right. And if anyone's ever seen a burned patient, right, someone who got burned, and let's say on the neck area, that if a burn went untreated, the person did not go to the burn unit and just healed in. You know, we've all seen those people and war injuries where the chin gets pulled right down to the chest and people lose function. They lose the ability to move because the body has shrunk the wound. That's one of the key ways. It's a race for the body to heal the wound before bacteria get in. And remember, before 1938, there were no antibiotics. And so we had to get those wounds closed, and your body did that as quickly as possible, and it sacrificed function to stay alive. And so shrinking the area is a basic part of wound healing. And when we wound you, and we can do that, Mike, when we wound you with either a peel or a laser or high-energy focused ultrasound or heat, when we wound you, we start that process. We start the shrinkage of tissue and we start the generation of collagen. So let's think now. Now, way back in 1962, Mike, that's when the deep chemical peel came in. And that was a fairly well-controlled way to wound the skin and cause this reaction. And boy, it was very effective. You know, the deep chemical peel with phenol, remember that stuff? That's the stuff that's in chloraseptic. But in chloraseptic, it's 0.3%. And in deep chemical peeling, it's 50%. So that's pretty caustic stuff, but we put it right on your face and we create a wound. And after about 2 weeks, the skin heals back and hopefully, and it usually does, it heals fine. And then your wrinkles are better and you look better. But one of the problems with the deep chemical peel, Mike, in 1962 was that everybody had this real long protracted wound healing period, red skin for 3 months. And then after you healed, your skin was white. And so, you know, in 1995, we got away from deep chemical peeling and we went to lasering with carbon dioxide lasers. Another great way to peel the skin off. You know where these carbon dioxide lasers came from, Mike?
No.
They were.
I'm almost afraid to ask here.
Oh, you can't believe this one. These same lasers that are used on the skin were first used to take paint off of ships. You know, it was a very effective way. They lasered the paint and it peeled right off. and then someone got the idea. It was an Israeli plastic surgeon to use these on humans and vaporize the skin. It did a better job probably than the deep chemical peel because we could judge the depth very nicely. So, Mike, the laser is a way to wound the skin, but more importantly, it's an energy delivery device. And, you know, the problem with lasers, again, long healing period, lightened skin. So people look for ways to wound you. How's that? In a much more controlled way. So maybe when we come back from the break, Mike, we'll talk about the newer ways, not the peels and not the really deep lasers, but some of these new ways and which ones are good and which ones might not be so good.
Well, and if anyone wants to ask us questions, more questions, they can always email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com, or they can call 1-877-711-5211 and get on with us. And then they can ask you directly, asking Arthur directly. So when we come back, also, you're going to tell me what your feelings are about some of the individual devices like Thermage. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.